He rested for what he believed to be 2 hours. The moon did not rise now until late, and he had no way of judging the time. Nor was he really resting, except comparatively. He was still bearing the pull of the fish across his shoulders, but he placed his left hand on the gunwale of the bow and confided more and more of the resistance to the fish to the skiff itself. How simple it would be if I could make the line fast, he thought. What with one small lurch, he could break it. I must cushion the pull of the line with my body and at all times be ready to give line with both hands.
But you have not slept yet, old man, he said aloud. It is half a day and a night, and now another day, and you have not slept. You must devise a way so that you sleep a little, if he is quiet and steady. If you do not sleep, you might become unclear in the head. I'm clear enough in the head, he thought. Too clear. I am as clear as the stars that are my brothers. Still, I must sleep. They sleep, and the moon and the sun sleep. And even the ocean sleeps sometimes on certain days when there is no current and a flat calm. But remember to sleep, he thought. Make yourself do it and devise some simple and sure way about the lines. Now go back and prepare the dolphin. It is too dangerous to rig the oars as a drag if you must sleep. I could go without sleeping, he told himself, but it would be too dangerous. He started to work his way back to the stern on his hands and knees, being careful not to jerk against the fish. He may be half asleep himself, he thought, but I do not want him to rest. He must pull until he dies. Back in the stern, he turned so that his left hand held the strain of the line across his shoulders and drew his knife from its sheath with his right hand. The stars were bright now, and he saw the dolphin clearly, and he pushed the blade of his knife into his head and drew him out from under the stern. He put one of his feet in the fish and slit him quickly from the vent up to the tip of his lower jaw. Then he put his knife down and gutted him with his right hand, scooping him clean and pulling the gills clear. He felt the maw heavy and slippery in his hands, and he slit it open. There were 2 flying fish inside. They were fresh and hard, and he laid them side by side and dropped the guts and the gills over the stern. They sank, leaving a trail of phosphorescence in the water. The dolphin was cold and a leprous gray-white now in the starlight, and the old man skinned one side of him while he held his right foot in the fish's head. Then he turned him over and skinned the other side and cut each side off from the head down to the tail. He slid the carcass overboard and looked to see if there was any swirl in the water, but there was only the light of its slow descent. He turned then and placed the 2 flying fish inside the 2 fillets of fish, and putting his knife back in its sheath, he worked his way slowly back to the bow. His back was bent with the weight of the line across it, and he carried the fish in his right hand. Back in the bow, he laid the 2 fillets of fish out in the wood with the flying fish beside them. After that, he settled the line across his shoulders in a new place and held it again with his left hand resting on the gunwale. Then he leaned over the side and washed the flying fish in the water, noting the speed of the water against his hand. His hand was phosphorescent from skinning the fish, and he watched the flow of the water against it. The flow was less strong, and as he rubbed the side of his hand against the planking of the skiff, particles of phosphorus floated off and drifted slowly astern. He is tiring, or he is resting, the old man said. Now, let me get through the eating of this dolphin and get some rest and a little sleep.
Under the stars, and with the night colder all the time, he ate half of one of the dolphin fillets and one of the flying fish, gutted and with its head cut off.
"What an excellent fish dolphin is to eat cooked," he said, "and what a miserable fish raw. I will never go in a boat again without salt or limes. If I had brains, I would have splashed water in the bow all day, and drying it would have made salt," he thought. But then I did not hook the dolphin until almost sunset. Still, it was a lack of preparation. But I have chewed it all well, and I am not nauseated.
The sky was clouding over to the east, and one after another the stars he knew were gone. It looked now as though he were moving into a great canyon of clouds, and the wind had dropped.
"There will be bad weather in 3 or 4 days," he said. "But not tonight, and not tomorrow. Rig now to get some sleep, old man, while the fish is calm and steady." He held the line tight in his right hand and then pushed his thigh against his right hand as he leaned all his weight against the wood of the bow. Then he passed the line a little lower on his shoulders and braced his left hand on it. My right hand can hold it as long as it is braced, he thought. If it relaxes in sleep, my left hand will wake me as the line goes out. It is hard on the right hand, but he is used to punishment. Even if I sleep 20 minutes or a half hour, it is good. He lay forward, cramping himself against the line with all of his body, putting all his weight onto his right hand, and he was asleep. He did not dream of the lions, but instead of a vast school of porpoises that stretched for 8 or 10 miles, and it was in the time of their mating, and they would leap high into the air and return into the same hole they had made in the water when they leaped. Then he dreamed that he was in the village on his bed, and there was a norther, and he was very cold, and his right arm was asleep because his head had rested on it instead of a pillow. After that he began to dream of the long yellow beach, and he saw the first of the lions come down onto it in the early dark. And then the other lions came, and he rested his chin on the wood of the bows where the ship lay anchored with the evening offshore breeze, and he waited to see if there would be more lions, and he was happy. The moon had been up for a long time, but he slept on, and the fish pulled on steadily, and the boat moved into the tunnel of clouds.